You are tuned in to Cultivating Indigenous Voices from KXEI Tucson, hosted and produced by Tina Andrew. This interview features three guests: Andre Bouchard, executive creator, producer, and founder of Indigenous Performance Productions; Harrison Jim Sr., a U.S. Navy veteran and Diné traditional counselor; and Montana Miller, Army veteran, actor, director, and storyteller. Together, they are co-directing a live story event called Stories from the Warrior Society. Before we begin, I want to disclose that this interview contains personal stories from veterans that include traumatic war experiences. Please take care while listening and proceed at your own comfort level.
Hello, my name is Andre Bouchard. I am originally from the Flathead Reservation in western Montana. I'm a first-generation descendant of that tribe. And my work through Indigenous Performance Productions, it's a nonprofit company, is in Native and Indigenous storytelling, primarily in sort of a contemporary lens, and preserving stories from people, elders, culture bearers, people who've made impact in the community as a cultural resource for generations to come. And I've been doing this very intensively for the last 7 years, but sort of more generally in the performing arts world since 1999.
All right. Thank you so much, Andre. Now I'm going to turn to our next guest, Harrison.
Yeah, my name is Harrison Jim. In a proper way of introducing myself through my Navajo culture, identifying myself through my mother, my father, my maternal and paternal grandfathers. And I come from outside of a little town called Gallup, New Mexico. I'm employed with an Indian hospital, Sage Memorial Hospital, as a traditional practitioner. I'm also a historical teacher, cultural teacher at the same time. And I'm also a Vietnam-era veteran in the United States Navy.
Thank you for your service, Harrison, and for being here today. Now to our next introduction with Montana. Welcome.
Hello. So you just heard an official Navajo introductory, so I'm going to give you the contemporary Navajo version. Hello, everyone. I am Montana, like the state, Miller, like the beer, and I go by Bilagana Nasana Yinishle, Taba Nishle, Ashinhi Bashishin, Tachinhi Dishichek, Ani Dishinele. In a way, you could say I am sitting with my Da'a here. I am from the water edge, the salt people, the red running to water, and the Towering House clan. And I am an actor, a stand-up comedian, and also a cultural engagement leader for the youth with one of my other co-founded companies called Natives of the Apocalypse.
Thanks, Montana. It's great to have you here, too. Thank you as well for your service. And back to you, Andre. Tell us about this current project you're working on called Stories from the Warrior Society.
Yeah, so the genesis for this project came from my dad, who served in World War II, Louis Bouchard. He was a member of my tribe's Warrior Society, and he was, by my estimation, probably around the eighth person in our tribe to get his college degree. The year he graduated with his college degree in 1942, he enlisted in the Army and went off to war. And he served through the end of the war and was requested a discharge after my uncle, his younger brother, was lost near the Philippines. And I always wondered about his decision, his why, in doing that. And he never really talked about it that much. And then he passed away rather suddenly in my childhood. And I was around a lot of vets and that sort of thing when I was growing up. And I always respected them for their service and that sort of thing. But it seems as though there's a gulf of experience and understanding between those who have served in our communities and those who haven't. And it is my hope with this project that we can start to bridge that gulf and find a way as a society, as a community, to ease their entry back into our communities. But also, it has occurred to me as, you know, just someone who reads a lot, that, you know, maybe 150 years ago, the U.S. military was rounding us up and putting us on reservations, you know, forcibly. And fast forward 100 years, and they're honoring us. And there is a story of systemic change in the armed forces with regards to their attitude towards Native people. And there's a story there as well. I mean, the last part is sort of the warrior societies themselves, which have been around serving in roles of protection of community, protection of the vulnerable, since before the United States was even a thing. And so there's so many sort of angles to this idea that the warrior societies are these ancient concepts, and they're rooted in community, and they're integrated, and there's wisdom in that. And so in my pursuit to sort of provide resources, cultural resources, for Native communities across this land, it seemed like it was both timely and needed, with humility. And of course, I couldn't do it myself because I didn't serve, right? And so that's when Montana came in. And this is his segue to start up and introduce him.
And for me, I never really thought about it. But when I was introduced to this project, the first thing that came to my mind was, I'm too young. I don't have that experience. I don't have this level of holistic level of being a leader for this type of project, because I did 5 years, and those 5 years, I only recall on it during certain times. It's not something like I really think about every day. I try not to. But throughout the course of being out and in, a lot of veterans suffer from healing. And the VA is one aspect of approach, and that's for Western healing. But also, on my recovery from transitioning out, I was introduced heavily into Navajo sweat, traditional sweat, tkache. And in that process, I've come to terms with what I've done in the military, who I was in the military, and some of my bad actions that I did in there. And a lot of veterans out there need to understand there's different ways of healing from the service. And healing is approached differently by different people, different cultures, different identities. And this was an opportunity to bring another version of healing to the veterans and family members who are related to veterans who maybe are dealing with that veteran who's dealing with alcohol, substance abuse, domestic violence, PTSD. And they're asking questions like, why can't the VA help me? How come the hospitals aren't taking them? There's no questions, there's no solutions. Well, this project seemed like the perfect way to introduce a new way of healing. And the people that we want to bring in, they're going to really amplify different avenues of approach to heal on a holistic value, from powwow, from beadwork, to ceremony, to song and dance. There's so many aspects. And when I understood that, and I, in the military, we reflect this, seek advice from your elders or from people from higher ranking. So as a private, I'll go ask a specialist or ask a sergeant, then they'll go higher, further in chain of command. It's the same way in the civilian world. I'm gonna ask like an uncle, a grandpa, someone who's older than me. And Andre was humble enough, and I feel very thankful. He said, sure, who do you have in mind? So I wanted to go as far back as I could. And I brought up a Vietnam veteran, and he's a part of the Khatkhatli, the Medicine People Association. And I felt like he was the perfect person to ground us and ensure we do it in a holistic mannerism, in the proper way. And he's one to always call me out if I'm doing something wrong. Like if I cuss around the fire, he's like, hey, you don't do that. That's your grandma. You don't cuss around her. So that's the type of person I wanted to bring on for this type of project. Especially with, we don't know what kind of triggers we're dealing with. We don't know what kind of spirits. We don't know what kind of energy. I wanted to bring on someone with more life experience, more holistic experience, just everything. And that's where we brought in the Navy Vietnam veteran, Harrison. And that will be my segue.
Apologies, I'm going to be going back and forth my language and then into the European language, Belagana Bazaar. So I was approached actually inside the sweat lodge ceremony, you know, the project, what was about to happen. And I was a little bit confused at the beginning. And then I remember the time when my dad's brother, my uncle, Shijayaja, you know, that he was really deep into alcohol. And the time that he was inebriated, you know, that he would cry and he would be angry and going through some kind of a traumatic experience in through his alcoholism. And everybody was annoyed. Everybody was afraid. They didn't understand what he was going through. And my uncle was a World War II veteran. So, you know, the traumatic experience that he went through, the severity of the combat experiences that he went through, as to where in one of his time when he was drinking, he cried out and yelled out the name of the comrade that he was in the foxhole with. They were in combat. He looked this way, and then the next time he looked at his comrade in the foxhole, you know, that person was sitting there without a head. And these are some of the things that, you know, that he's experienced and he doesn't know. He tries to explain himself, but we then, as me as a civilian then, we couldn't understand what he was talking about. Mm-hmm. We couldn't understand the trauma that he's trying to put across to us. Back then, if I knew about it, then maybe there was some way that we could have helped him. So, you know, a lot of our veterans are like that today. You know, the current combat situation, like the Desert Storm in Afghanistan, people are being honored. You know, in my region, what they do is they have a motorcycle club where they would bring the veteran or the soldier, you know, honor him by, you know, bringing him with the motorcycle club. In my era, during the Vietnam, you know, people spat on us. And we never had that honor like they do nowadays. So, you know, I think Vietnam experience is just as bad as World War II. A lot of devastation, a lot of things that happened. So in my time, when I went into the military, there was a ceremony of an enemy way type of ceremony where they dress you up in armor in our culture as to where you're going to be protected. You know, no matter what kind of battles, what kind of bad experience that you go through, you're going to be protected by the holy people through your whole tour of duty. And then when you come back, and then you take off the uniform and they do a cleansing type of blessings as to where your mind, the experience and everything will be cleansed with proper herbs and through the all-night ceremony as to where you're welcome back into your family, back into society. A lot of our, you know, a lot of our combat veterans have never had these ceremonies, so they still carry the trauma in their minds. And because of that, you know, that some of them are living in the streets now because they were never welcome to come home in a proper way through the proper ceremonies. So these are the ones that today I'm trying. There's another brother, clan brother, and I, we try to work with the veterans in this way. So, you know, trying to perform ceremonies as we can, and just to cleanse the mind of the traumas that they're going through. So we've been, the only problem that we have with this is the Veteran Administration does not acknowledge the ceremonial cleansing or the ceremonial healings. We try to ask for fundings, but they're more into healing in the Western way with medication. What they don't understand is the Western medication is only like a band-aid. It manages all the trauma. But through the traditional ceremonies, you go deep into it, and then through the songs and the medicinal herbs and proper way of addressing it, you heal the mind, the spirit, and the physical person as a whole, and it helps to heal the whole family as well. So this is what we're trying to bring across to, you know, every tribe. You know, every tribe out there have their own way of ceremonies, and this is what, for me, I'm hoping that through this project, you know, that the Veterans Administration will be able to acknowledge it and to try to help our indigenous, you know, veterans to heal instead of managing it.
Thank you, Harrison, for sharing that. I think it's important to hear those stories about what both men and women who served in the military may have endured. In some cases, it is incredibly traumatic, but it is moving to hear how your community, the Dene community, are reclaiming ceremonies that acknowledge and help heal the spiritual weight of war. And also, thank you, Andre and Montana, for also sharing your perspectives and personal experiences as far as your involvement in this project. And I believe the work you all are doing and being involved with the upcoming live event titled Stories from the Warrior Society highlights how lasting and complex that kind of trauma can be. And I appreciate the holistic approach of healing those men and women who are serving and have served in the military. So what are other indigenous communities doing to bring back cleansing ceremonies?
I do believe there's other tribes that are trying to use mostly the sweat lodge ceremonies. Mm-hmm. And I do believe, but with experiences, that one of the most therapeutic healing ceremonies is through the sweat lodge. But for, you know, us Dene people, you know, a.k.a. Navajo, you know, that we have abundance of other ceremonies that we can be able to use along with the sweat lodge. Through my experience, there's other tribes that, you know, that are trying to heal our veterans in their own cultural ways, and mostly the sweat lodge.
This is Andre again. In fact, one of the vets that we talked to, this is one of two sites that we're doing this project on, and I'm hopeful that the world will manifest funding for us to keep doing sites across the country for this into the future, perhaps one or two sites a year, because this is obviously really intense. One of the vets that we talked to is from the Yakama Nation, and he had decades and decades of service. His name was George. And when he heard what Harrison was doing, he got very excited. And that's one of the reasons that he was really interested in becoming involved in this project, is because he wanted to learn under Harrison and understand how he could take the pathway that Harrison had and learn from it and bring it back to the Yakima community and the communities, the tribes around Washington State and Oregon State and that sort of thing. And so I think that there are a lot of ways that we learn intertribally. One of my mentors back when I was growing up once pulled me aside, and, you know, I had a big head on me, and we have ways of dealing with that. And he just, and I'll never forget this, he said, most of the best ideas out there in the world, Andre, are not going to be yours. And so I've carried that, and in a way I really relish being able to support people like Montana and Harrison in the good work they do. I'm the nuts and bolts guy. I just make sure that they get payroll, you know, make sure that their rental car is there for them and stuff like that.
Good coffee.
Yeah, more coffee and stronger. But yeah, I mean, it takes a team, and I'm so very blessed that this team manifested and that we're able to do this in Tucson.
Feels like a powerful act of respect and healing, acknowledging that warriors need support before they leave and when they return as well. So as far as getting involved and being there for those individuals who do need it because of their own personal suffering from their experiences, being in the military and being away from home and not having access to ceremony or the traditions to help heal them, that they can get that when they return home, is a good thing. I appreciate the work that you all are doing to spread this type of awareness to other Native Indigenous communities, or even just to all communities in general. So how did you find your connection here in Tucson?
Well, that was Jordan. Well, actually, Jordan's boss, Bonnie, I did a fellowship with her perhaps like 7 years ago or something like that, through the Association of Performing Arts Professionals. And that's how I got to know Bonnie, who is the executive of the Fox Theater Tucson. And so, I don't know, if you keep your ears open and just sort of keep talking to people over time, this is work that takes time. This and the other project that I'm running, The Aunties, which is storytelling by Native women. So just keep working at it and be patient and things will manifest. You know, the world will show you a direction, right?
I want to add on that for that manifestation, because I'm going to shed a little backstory. Before this project came to light, Harrison and a couple of veterans would talk to me at Tkache or at school grounds. They would say, you know, I wish there was some way we could get what we're doing on the larger scale for people to know about the veteran stuff. There were avenues of like radio work, film. There's so many that are trying to do it. So in a way, I'm more of the middleman, because Harrison manifested it in Sweat. You manifested it for the theater, and I was the guy that was fortunate enough to connect you guys, bring it together. I feel more of a tool and instrument for Indigenous elders, so I can be the voice to the youth. Because I was morally grown into the traditionalism. And a lot of times, people my age are fearful, I guess, of unknown knowledge from the elders and the way it can be received and taught, whether it's through stern discipline, love. But I want to, what this project was, is to allow that bridge from the youth, non-veterans, from everyone. Because when you get to understand warrior society, there's some, like Andre was saying, there's so many aspects of what warrior means. Like, you can go to war in a courtroom for the tribe, you're going to get a warrior ceremony done because we need to protect you while you're in the courthouse being, or as a cop, or different areas. And we want to bring this, everything we're talking about is in line with everyone, because everyone has an Indigenous lineage. So I want my purpose to hopefully uncover it's okay to find a different approach of healing. And it's okay to not know and understand it. It's okay to ask for help. It's okay to, like, I've been taught a lot from my elders and from my teachers. It's okay to mess up, but what you do from that and how you learn and carry it will go from there. Because in reality, what we're doing right now, we've never really done this before for this veteran society. A lot of veterans are gonna be weary of opening up. So it's a fragile project, but it's something that needs to be done, I notice.
Right, and the invitation that we're giving to veterans is to talk about whatever they want. They don't have to go to the dark places if that's not where they're at. I mean, the purpose of this is to give them a platform to amplify their voices. And I'm fundraising to make a feature-length documentary about this. It's been slow in this fundraising climate. but these resources need to be free and available for our tribal communities, for our urban Native communities, for our youth, and that sort of thing. And because there's a deep need for uncles and aunties and guides for our young people in this ever cluttered world, where there's so much to be distracted by, so many, you know, 15-second video clips that they can go down the rabbit hole on and that sort of thing. That, you know, we have to, I feel like, as communities, answer the call and find platforms of our own that we own, mm-hmm. and that we can guide and that we can indigenize. I had a learning from one of my Australian Aboriginal brothers, Jacob Boehm, who told me about this thing he did called a blackout. So they call themselves black, they're the Aboriginals. And he takes theaters and he finds Native or Aboriginal crew to be, you know, the front of house and the technicians and the performers, and it's an entirely Indigenized space. And things like that, as we go forward, as we find resources and that sort of thing to make our corner of the world again just ours, right? And in doing so, like, have a way of rewriting the narrative that has been made by colonists about us for the last, you know, 400 years. And so, yeah, I mean, that's the goal, right?
I agree with that about carrying our own narratives, especially as a Native Indigenous stories. So my next question is for Harrison in Montana. And we'll start with you, Harrison. What has it been like for you to be a part of the stories from the Warrior Society Project?
Well, for me, all I'm looking forward to is helping as many veterans that I can. And because of this approach, for me, it's kind of like controversial wherever I go because of the traditional ceremonies. You know, that a lot of time my people would say, do not use these kind of ceremonies with others. But for me, you know, that, you know, I have to look back and that the day that I raised my hand and then I made an oath. And the oath was that, you know, that I'm not the only one that was standing there. I had a non-Native this side and then be a Hispanic on this side, African-American on my side, very different a group of ethnics. We all stood together and we raised our hand and they said that we're going to protect one another. And so based on my thought on that, you know, if one of the non-Natives is going through some hard time, I'm not just going to look at my comrade. I'm going to step in and I'm going to help. And that's my idea. So for that reason, you know, that when I'm doing these ceremonies, all veterans, no matter where you come from, all veterans are invited into the ceremony that I do. So this is the reasons why I don't set a goal. All I'm there is that I'm going to help the next person, the next veteran, because he's my comrade. He gave his life, you know, there for a few years, and all the traumas, he didn't understand the trauma that he is going to be a part of. And I have to stand by him, and he has to stand by me. And I guess you would say, an unspoken code between veterans is how to help one another. Yeah. So that's the way I see it.
Thank you. I think I am in the same boat this is why I always need an elder, you know, to help balance everything. Because sometimes in our youth, we get too caught up on what's mainstream or what's running. But at the end of the day, I think of this as an opportunity for healing and understanding for that word veteran, what it can encompass. And I want everyone, what I want to get out of this is to understand, like, any surgery, any ceremony, every veteran is different. Every veteran has a different experience. Every veteran has a different era, a different time frame, a different basic training, a different battle buddy, foxhole, a different experience. So I guess what I want is more understanding for both sides when it comes out of this. Also for myself, understanding more from Andre, Harrison, and all the other veterans from different nationalities that are coming. And anyone that's going to show up that wants to express their stories, I just want a lot of healing to be done, majority of it.
It sounds like the values you carried in the military, service, resilience, and brotherhood, are still guiding how you engage with this work. Thank you for sharing that. I appreciate it. And I feel like both of your experiences and the way you both carry them forward really add so much meaning to this project.
So Harrison and Montana from Gallup area, and I'm up from the Olympia, Washington area. We're doing, you know, the work on the ground, but we will be back sort of for the main event of this March. And the live storytelling event open to the public will be at the Fox Tucson Theater, I believe, on the 28th of March. But there will also be a fair amount of community and educational engagement focused on intergenerational things around this topic, resilience, because these magnificent human beings that I'm working with have a lot of knowledge and wisdom about how to recover from trauma. And there's a lot of trauma in our Native communities. And there's so many things that we can learn from each other. And this project has been terrifying to me. But I keep doing it because I should. Because my ancestors tell me I need to. But I just also want to express my deep gratitude towards Harrison, Montana, and all the other vets that we've talked with and will be talking with, as well as Jordan and Bonnie over at the Fox Tucson Theater for helping us manifest this in this community. Because the need is great, and we all have to do our part.
Thank you for sharing your last thoughts, Andre. I appreciate you taking the time and for the work that you're doing with the stories from the Warrior Society Project. And finally, Harrison, would you like to say any final thoughts?
When we did ceremonies for veterans in our area and it wasn't being acknowledged, and we prayed about it, somewhere along the way in the future, somebody's going to come forth. And we're hoping and praying that the deities will guide someone that will be able to try to help us with this. And lo and behold, Andre, I've been introduced to Andre. And he's the one that I have a deep belief that he's going to take it a step further to the point where now the Veterans Administration are going to have to take notice of this. Because there's a dire need for our veterans that are going through severe PTSD. And people like, ceremonial people are there trying to help, offering this help. And we've been hitting solid walls through all this. The ceremonies that took place over the weekends when we invited veterans all from the state of Washington, from California and different places, unfortunately, they have to pay out of their own pockets just to attend these ceremonies. So for that reason, we prayed that somebody's going to come forth and try to help us to have the Veterans Administration take notice. And I commend Andre and Mashatai, my nephew, Montana, for inviting me and giving me the information that there is hope. Yeah. Now I do believe that there is hope.
Thanks, Harrison, for sharing your last thoughts. And now, Montana, would you like to share anything before we end the conversation?
I just want to say I'm very lucky to have had fellow veterans and fellow elders that took me in to teach me the ways and help me find balance with my trauma. And in a way, I want to share that because not everyone's lucky to have an elder or have a veteran or have someone that's not battling trauma to be there in their lives. So I just want to say thank you so much, Andre, for making time for us, the veteran community. Auto, you guys here at the radio station, thank you so much. And everyone that's listening, everyone that's going to come. And thank you to Mashada right here. Harrison, thank you for wanting to come out here, me, Andre, and this project. And I want to say thank you to Sheila Rocha. She's from here. And Chris Rios. They're from the Tona Orohorum tribe. And I've always believed Tucson was instrumental on getting some movement because I did a recent film here about the MMIW, Sioux Thunder and Johnny Lightning. And I always felt this community, to me, on my personal, on the Native side, have really been helpful on my journey whenever I came here. But just want to say thank you to everyone that's been involved and everyone in the future.
If there are veterans or active duty folk out there who have stories that they might want to share with this project, or if you have relatives that likewise have stories that they might want to share, they are welcome to get in touch with me. My email is Andre, A-N-D-R-E, at indigenousperformance.org.
You are tuned in to Cultivating Indigenous Voices from KXEI Tucson, hosted and produced by Tina Andrew, featuring Andre Bouchard, executive creator, producer, and founder of Indigenous Performance Productions, Harrison Jim Sr., a U.S. Navy veteran, Diné traditional counselor, and Montana Miller, Army veteran and storyteller. To hear more episodes, go to kxci.org.